Anya got back to her quarters and stretched out on the bed, sinking into the mattress with relief. The idea of jumping into the ocean to do battle with the shark did nothing to make her glad she'd agreed to come along with Cole on this trip. If anything, Anya only wanted to run home and lock the door. At least in Brooklyn, she only had to worry about muggers, murderers, and a variety of other scum. Sharks hadn't yet figured out how to settle down in any of the five boroughs.
Garin.
Garin's face swam into her mind, and Anya frowned. Sheila worked for him. That was a surprise. More surprising was the fact that she knew plenty about Anya, and was a decent match in terms of her combat skills. Anya hadn't met many who could go toe-to-toe with her.
Why is Garin recruiting his own operatives?
The fact that he and Rue had once been mortal enemies hadn't stopped them both from moving around the world as it suited them. Sure, they kept reasonably low profiles, but it didn't make sense for Garin to be so worried that he needed operatives in play for him. It was something she'd have to address next time she saw him. Then there was the whole notion that some rival was actively searching for the crucifix that had once belonged to Joan of Arc. Anya felt a twang in her stomach at the thought of the woman whose sword she now owned.
No, I don't own the sword. If anything, the sword owns me.
Anya wondered about this rival organization, whether they knew about Anya and the sword or were only after the crucifix. Being granted immortality was a fantastic concept, and one that Anya wasn't sure she could buy into, even knowing Rue and Garin had survived for centuries. She desperately needed sleep.
Who is the traitor?
Someone was trying to open her door, but Anya had been sure to lock the door when she'd come in. And that meant whoever was trying to get in would either have to pick the lock or kick the door in.
Or they could just knock.
She slid out of bed carefully and let her feet touch the floor before she shifted her weight any further. She stood and padded over toward the door. They were picking the lock. As far as she was concerned, that meant they weren't friendly.
Hi there.
Sheila stumbled into the room. Anya caught her and pushed her up against the wall.
Want to tell me why you were breaking into my room?
I didn't want to wake you.
If Garin told you about me, then you should have known that I'm a pretty light sleeper.
You weren't yesterday when I clocked you.
You got in touch with Garin already?
He wasn't there. I had to leave a message.
So let's pretend that Garin says yes. Why don't you go ahead and fill me in on the bad guys while we wait, huh?
Sheila sat down on the chair in the room and faced Anya.
I really don't feel comfortable doing that.
Ah! Anya pointed the tip of her sword right at Sheila's throat.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Garin told me it would be impressive, but I didn't expect anything like this.
Yeah, most people don't. So let's have a talk about these bad guys and not worry about what Garin might or might not say. How's that sound,
There's really no need to threaten me.
I'm not threatening you, Sheila. I'm just using this to illustrate a point. Namely, that I don't like waiting. See, I figure if you don't tell me, I'll just slice your head off and then tell Garin you had a horrible accident involving our pal the shark. Really an unfortunate turn of events, but that's the way it goes sometimes, huh?
You wouldn't.
Don't even go there with me. You won't like the result.
I shouldn't do this. I'd be violating one of Garin's rules that he ingrained in me a long time ago.
Your choice makes no difference to me, or to the sword I'm holding.
Fine. The organization is headed by a guy from Cleveland.
Cleveland?
That's what I said. Why?
Never thought of a nefarious organization having someone in charge from Cleveland. Just doesn't seem right. Whatever, keep going.
His name is Henderson. That's all anyone knows. He's supposedly one of these religious nuts who's obsessed with anything even remotely supernatural. Doesn't matter if it's from some other culture or what. If he hears about it, he wants it.
And the crucifix fits in with his ideology?
Henderson's ideology is simple. If it's powerful, he wants it.
To what end?
Who knows? No one's ever really seen Henderson. He could be a complete flake. Or he could be a captain of industry. All we know is he has people everywhere, and when he hears about something unusual, he gets his fingers into it.
Why didn't he recover the crucifix himself?
Henderson's never been much of a starter. He prefers swooping in after the work has already been done. He'll wait until the crucifix is recovered and then come and steal it. Easier that way.
I guess I can see how that might look attractive.
He's on the hunt for this crucifix, Anya. He wants very badly something that would stave off the onslaught of age and death. Garin's intelligence estimates his age at almost 80.
Who works for him?
Anyone he can pay. He recruits from every walk of life, knowing that money tends to make people very open to things like murder, deception, and stuff along those lines.
You're certain that he knows about the crucifix?
Absolutely. He managed to plant someone on this boat. Apparently, Hunter's rather loose approach to hiring people worked out well for Henderson's organization. No background checks.
Handy.
And quite unlike Garin, who had me create an entire fictitious account of my life just so I could hold up under scrutiny.
Would have worked if you hadn't moved the way you do.
Yeah.
Anya let the sword drop.
There. Now don't you feel better having told me all of that? No sense bothering Garin at all. We'll just keep it between us.
If you say so.
I'm still not sure how you think I can take out that shark. The idea of me fighting it...
You don't have to fight it, Anya. All we've got to do is lure it to the cage where you'll be. Once it gets close, you can plunge your sword into its belly. Cut deep and fast, and that should be a mortal wound. Once you do that, you can dispatch it at your leisure.
Like when my heart calms down.
Sure.
The whole idea sounds insane. There's got to be a better way, but damned if I can think of one.
The problem is the size of the shark. If it was smaller, we could try fishing for it. But with it being half the size of the boat, it'll simply weigh far too much for us to try something like that. It has to be destroyed.
Cole's gonna love that.
I can appreciate his sentiments on this. I'm not one to encourage wanton slaughter of animals, but there's no way around this. The shark is obviously interested in the boat since it made a repeat appearance, even in the wake of Jock's death.
Okay. You kept your word and told me about Henderson. I appreciate that. You didn't have to.
Well, you did have a sword up against my throat.
I simply encouraged you to help me out with my distinct lack of information.
Convincingly, I might add. But Garin will kill me if he ever finds out. So you can't tell him about this, okay?
Sure, no problem. When do you want to start?
It has to be soon. And it would be better if we can do it without anyone else knowing.
Yeah, sure, that'll be easy. We'll just wait until midnight so I can winch the cage into the ocean without anyone hearing me. Of course, it'll be totally dark and I won't be able to see a damned thing. You're nuts. Of course people are gonna have to know.
The more people who know, the more difficult it will be to convince them that what we're doing is the right approach.
Maybe we could just show them pictures of Jock's body. That might be enough to convince them.
Maybe.
Anya knew she'd have to tell Hunter and Cole about this. It would only be with their help that she could even dream about pulling it off.
We'll talk it over around dinner time, okay?
Sheila stood.
All right. Are we finished here?
Hey, you were the one who came into my room, not the other way around.
Sheila put her hand on the doorknob and turned it.
I think we're done. Talk to you later.
Not so fast.
Captain Jack stood in the doorway. She held a pistol in her hand, its black barrel aimed squarely at Sheila's chest.
Seems to me that we all need to have a serious talk, so why don't we sit down for a few minutes until we get things cleared up?
Sheila backed into the room, her hands rising defensively.
Slow down, Captain. There's no need for any violence.
I'll be the judge of that. Stay where you are, Anya.
Why would I want to do that?
Because I don't want to have to shoot you. But I will in order to get you to listen to me. You understand?
Anya nodded, ready to move if Sheila could help her gain an opening.
Why are you doing this, Jax? I thought we got along just fine.
Appearances are deceiving.
This isn't necessary.
I think it is. You've been trouble since I laid eyes on you. Time to take care of business since Hunter and Cole won't deal with it.
Anya frowned. Jax kept the gun steady on Sheila. The captain dodged the blow and punched Anya in the side of her chest. Jax pivoted again and delivered a roundhouse kick to Anya's leg, sweeping it out and dropping her further. Anya was down before she realized Jack had the pistol aimed at her chest.
Damn it, Anya, I told you not to engage.
But then Anya saw a form hurtle across her field of vision. Sheila and Jax fell across the mattress, toppling over backward beyond the edge of the bed.
That was some punch. Who taught her that?
She could see a tangle of arms and legs as Sheila and Jax fought. Sheila tried to disarm Jax, grabbing the gun with both hands. Jax used her free hand to wrench the gun up and over Sheila's wrist, snapping it down sharply. Sheila punched Jax in the face. Jax kicked Sheila back and up, forcing her toward Anya. Sheila rolled, got to her feet, and clutched at her broken wrist.
You've got to stop her, Anya!
And then she bolted for the door. Anya shook her head and watched as Jax aimed the gun. Anya lunged, and the shot went awry.
Anya, damn it!
Jax punched her again in the stomach, and Anya dropped. She tried to raise her sword. Jax stomped on her arm. When she tried to roll over with the sword, Jax pointed the gun right into her face.
Drop the sword! I told you to stay out of this! Now I've lost her!
You're the traitor. I guess I should have seen through the tough bitch demeanor.
Jax shook her head and helped Anya to her feet.
No, you idiot. I'm Garin's operative on this boat. That one is the real problem. She's with Henderson.
She just finished telling me all about Henderson and his organization.
She just finished bullshitting you.
Why should I believe you?
Because Garin told me you'd ask that question.
And did he give you an answer for me as well?
No, but he did tell me that if you gave me any trouble, I should beat the crap out of you and be done with it.
Sure sounds like him.
He also told me that you were the one who billed your trip to Japan on his credit card.
You could have found that out by hacking into a computer and getting his credit report. Give me something else.
Antarctica. Sound familiar?
What about it?
You were surprised to find him there, right?
Maybe.
And do you remember Bali? What you told him after you'd had a few too many glasses of wine?
Anya was sure no one else on the planet knew that. She desperately wished she hadn't said what she had that night. But it couldn't be helped now.
So who is she?
Sheila? Don't know if that's her real name or not, but she works for Henderson. She's one of his top people. Her specialty is acting like she's an amateur when in fact she's not. And she can turn people against each other. Us included.
I nearly killed you.
I try not to take things like that personally. It tends to happen a fair amount, and if I held a grudge every time it did happen, I wouldn't be the pleasant lass I am.
Pleasant lass?
It's a personality makeover, as suggested by our mutual friend.
I see. Did he pluck you out of obscurity, too, in order to train you to be his super spy?
Do I look like I need any training other than what I got in the School of Hard Knocks? Garin can kiss my ass if he thinks he knows something I can't teach myself.
I'd love to see his reaction to that comment.
As long as he pays me, we get along fine. I know what side my bread is buttered on. You don't need to worry about me.
But we do need to worry about Sheila.
She can't go far. I broke her wrist.
I heard it.
She's probably gone running back to her room. There aren't a lot of other places she can go right now, are there? That's one of the benefits to being out on the ocean.
A cornered rabbit can still put up a fight. What if she's got a weapon in there with her?
Like what? A pistol? She can use it on herself if she wants. When the time comes to go in there and get her, I'll be happy to wrest it from her dead hands.
I was thinking more in terms of explosives. She could blow up the boat.
I already sent Dave to root through her junk. He knows what to look for, and I don't.
Is he clear?
I trust him.
All right. We've got to get to Hunter and Cole with this information. They need to know what's going on.
Agreed.
Jax and Anya started for the door.
Ah!
Splinters of wood flew off and struck Jax across her cheek as Anya realized that Sheila wasn't about to go quietly and cower somewhere. She hauled Jax back into her room.
Damn it!
Jax crawled to the door and stuck her gun through the opening. Jax pulled back and brushed a hand across her cheek. It came away bloody.
Ugh. You think I tagged her on that volley?
No idea.
Well, no way to tell if we stay here.
Just be careful.
Jax got down on her belly and crawled over to the door jamb.
Wait.
What?
Anya went to her bag and pulled a small compact out. She handed it to Jax, who took it with a grin.
Good idea.
She popped it open and used it to peer around the frame. Anya braced for the impact of a bullet, but no gunshots came. After a second, Jax pulled back into the room and tossed Anya the compact.
Seems secure.
Anya nodded, and they crawled out into the corridor. Jax took the lead, her pistol ready to fire if need be. They approached the turn in the corridor, and Jax looked at Anya, holding a finger up to her lips. Anya braced herself. Jax spun around the corner and aimed her pistol. The corridor was empty.
So much for that.
You think she's back in her room now?
Doubt it. If she's acting like this, it means she's going on the attack. And that's not particularly comforting. We better hook up with Hunter and Cole and make sure that Sheila's not planning a hostage-taking.
Good idea.
They took the steps up toward the main deck, each time clearing the turns carefully. Anya half expected Sheila to pop out at any minute and squeeze off a few more rounds at them. But nothing else happened. When they were close to the steps leading to the wheelhouse, Jax pointed topside.
Last I heard, Hunter and Cole are up.
Put him down!
Jax and Anya looked at each other and then ran for the steps. Anya and Jax crested the steps, expecting to see something other than what greeted their eyes. At the stern of the boat, they saw Sheila holding a gun on Dave, who looked like he wanted to rip her head off.
Stay the hell back!
Sheila clutched another crew member Anya didn't recognize. The young man looked as though he might faint at any second. He didn't struggle and stayed right where Sheila had him pinned with her arm. The broken wrist didn't seem to be slowing her down nearly as much as Anya might have hoped.
Get the winch and drop the dinghy over the side. Don't screw around, or little Stevie here gets a bullet for his trouble.
Dave frowned, but made his way to the winch and secured the lead cable to the motorized dinghy that was strapped to one side of the ship.
What's going on here?
Anya held up her hand as Cole and Hunter came through the doorway from inside the cabin. Hunter stopped short and then looked at Anya.
Guess you nailed it right.
It's a long story.
Jax, where'd you get a pistol?
Jax didn't take her eyes off Sheila. Anya could feel her tensing.
I don't make a habit of going through life unarmed.
Don't do it, Jax.
I can make the shot.
You might hit her, but she'll get the shot off before she dies.
Fine.
Dave had the dinghy raised off the railing and was steering it over the side of the ship.
Where do you want it, bitch?
Be nice, or I'll shoot you anyway. Put the dinghy down right there.
You sure you want to be going out in that thing?
Shut up, Anya.
It's just that with that shark out there, you never know. It might show up looking for something to eat, and that dinghy's awfully small.
Back up, Dave. Over by the others.
Let Steve go and we'll both get out of your way.
You think I'm stupid? Jax will shoot me.
No, she won't. If you want to go, be my guest. No one's gonna stop you. I'd rather you were off the boat anyway.
I don't trust you.
Trust me, don't trust me. I don't care. But leave Steve alone.
All of you, back inside the cabin and pull the door shut behind you. Once I see that, I'll let him go. But you stay inside until I'm in the dinghy and away from the ship. Listen for the motor, and then you can come out. Leave before then, and I'll shoot Steve.
Why exactly are we letting this bitch walk like this? I could close that distance and kill her.
Too risky. And Steve would die in the process. I promised his father I'd look after him.
I still think she should die.
Agreed.
But they all moved back into the wheelhouse together. Anya could see Sheila struggling with the pistol and the weight of having to deal with a hostage. If they'd wanted to, they could have taken her. But Hunter didn't want to do that. She wondered why. Sheila clambered over the side of the boat and eased herself into the dinghy. Steve fainted on the deck.
Jesus, someone get that kid a freaking spine.
Most people haven't actually been in combat before, Dave.
I guess.
They all spilled outside onto the deck. Hunter ran to check on Steve, and Cole helped him. Jax and Dave ran for the railing. Anya went with them. Off the stern of the boat, already 100 yards away, Sheila's dinghy was racing away at a good clip.
Where the hell is she going?
Mainland.
Can she make it there in that thing?
She's got 2 fuel bladders in the dinghy. That should give her more than enough gas to get there. I just wonder if she knows how to deal with the engine.
Why's that?
Because it ought to be kicking out in about 10 seconds.
Anya looked back at Sheila's dinghy. A thin trail of gray smoke steamed out of the small outboard motor.
How the hell did you do that?
SEALs know a few things about how to make boats and motors work. Or in this case, not work.
So what now? We just stand here and watch her float away in the current?
Nah, I'm sure a willful soul like Sheila will very soon come to a decision.
What kind of decision?
As to whether she'll let the tide carry her into the mainland, or if she'll swim for it.
She's got a busted wrist. I doubt very much she'll decide to swim for it.
Especially with that huge shark out there.
You'd be surprised what people will think about doing when they're faced with a big decision.
I'd wait it out. Wait for someone to come and get me. No way I'd chance it against a shark.
Anya watched as the dinghy's motor sputtered and then coughed before completely dying. Sheila pumped the starter cord a few times and then slumped back in the boat. She glanced back at the seeker.
Enjoy yourself!
Sheila aimed the gun in his direction, but no one aboard even moved. There was too much distance between them and the dinghy. The bullets would never reach their target.
She just gonna sit there? The sun's gonna be setting soon.
Anya looked at the sky. Dave was right. The bright blue from earlier had given way to a darker sky, stained with reds and oranges as the sun trekked westward on its daily route. Anya looked over her shoulder at Hunter and Cole. They had gotten Steve up and were giving him some water.
Is he okay?
Seems to be. A little shaken up, but I suppose that's to be expected.
Good thing you pegged Sheila the way you did, Anya. That could have been ugly.
Sheila lied to me. She had me convinced she was a good guy. It's Jax you ought to be thanking.
Forget about it. Just doing my part to keep the safety of the ship intact. Besides, I didn't like her anyway.
You'll get a bonus if all this works out.
I'll take you up on that. And don't use if, say when instead. Makes me feel more confident.
Holy crap, she's actually gonna swim for it.
Anya spun. They could see Sheila standing in the dinghy. She seemed to be searching the water for something. She leaned over the edge.
Careful.
The stalled dinghy bobbed in the waves. Sheila fell over and into the water, kicking the dinghy as she did so. The little boat skidded away from her. Sheila came up, spouting water.
Well, this shouldn't last too long. She doesn't look very comfortable in the water.
It's probably pretty cold out there, too.
It is, and I had a wetsuit on at the time. She's in trouble if she stays in there long. She'll go hypothermic, and that will be the end.
I wonder if the shark likes popsicles.
Oh my God, look.
Anya looked where Jax was pointing, perhaps 500 yards off the port side. The telltale silhouette of a triangular dorsal fin had risen out of the water. The shark had returned.
My God, that's a big fish.
She'll never make it.
Anya watched as Sheila started swimming in the general direction of the mainland. But they were a good couple of miles from the coast, and even if Sheila had been an Olympian, she'd never make it in time. Not when such a huge shark was on her tail.
I'm not sure if I can watch this. I feel like I ought to be doing something to save her.
Even if we wanted to, there's nothing we can do. We'll never reach her in time.
And should she be saved? She almost killed Steve.
And you.
I'm expendable. Sorry. Seal humor.
I can't watch this. Come find me when it's over, Anya. We need to talk some things through.
Anya turned back to the ocean. She didn't feel particularly compassionate toward Sheila. She deceived her and made Anya feel like a fool for trusting her. And now, Sheila was about to get her due. Still, no one deserved such a violent death.
Not much longer.
The dorsal fin cut through the waves and seemed to be picking up speed. Anya thought it looked a bit strange. She frowned and had to remind herself that she was about to watch another human being be killed by a shark. And yet, somehow, she didn't feel anything deep inside her.
God, here it comes.
There was a sudden explosion of movement as the shark's head reared out of the water. The massive form blocked everything from their view. But then, in an instant, it had clamped down and sunk completely back beneath the waves. Sheila was gone. When Anya found her way to the galley for dinner, Tom was sitting at the nearest table, eating toast and water.
Hey, how are you feeling?
Like shit. And I hear I've been missing out on all the excitement, which pisses me off to no end.
Just a few gun battles, a giant shark, that sort of thing. Nothing you couldn't experience any day of the week.
Thanks for rubbing salt in the wound.
I'm getting dinner. Will it gross you out if I sit with you?
What are they serving?
Looks like spaghetti and meatballs.
Tom blanched and bolted from the galley. Anya watched him dart past Cole, who had just entered, and shook her head.
I'm guessing that he's not actually all that well yet.
Doesn't seem to be. Listen, sorry about earlier.
About what?
Sheila and the shark.
Sounds like a bad sea ditty they'd sing down at a dive bar.
It does. But I don't want you thinking I'm some sort of bloodthirsty woman out for vengeance.
I don't think that at all. I just couldn't stay to watch it happen. Maybe because it goes against everything I've come to learn about sharks. For me, seeing something like that would cause me to question everything I know. It's crazy, right? I mean, here I am, spending all my life studying this incredible fish, and then we encounter this one, and it acts like a bad movie prop.
All I know is it's big and seems utterly deadly and hell-bent on eating people.
That's what I don't understand. I've seen other sharks in action, attacking fish and whatnot. I've never seen something like this. Even the manner in which it attacked Sheila seemed wrong.
I thought you didn't watch.
My scientific curiosity got the better of me. I peeked from the wheelhouse.
And what does your experience tell you about the shark?
To tell you the truth, I'm not so sure I'm ready to believe it is a shark.
Sure looks like one to me. I mean, it's got the dorsal fin, the teeth, and moves like a plane through the water. Isn't that pretty much it?
Remember when I mentioned to you earlier that something hadn't clicked with me and I needed to mull it over some more?
Sure.
Well, I've mulled, and what I've come up with is going to seem a bit strange to you.
Cole, you really need to spend a lot more time with me before you will succeed in shocking me. I can almost guarantee that anything you say won't surprise me.
Genitals.
Okay, I was wrong.
What I mean is that I'm not so sure I saw any genitals on the shark.
No one did. All we could see was the mouth open and closed down on Sheila. There wasn't much else, honestly. And it's probably better that there wasn't.
I meant earlier, when the shark attacked my cage. Right before it rammed and I got knocked unconscious, there was a moment. A flash, really. Where I could see the entire underside of the fish.
And?
No genitals.
I don't actually know what shark genitals look like, so obviously I'm gonna have to take your word for it.
Cole held up his hand and formed it into a blade.
They're kind of like these claspers that the sharks use to hold on to each other prior to fertilization. It's quite fascinating, actually, when you see them in action.
Shark porn is not going to do a damned thing for me. Like I said, I'll take your word for it.
Of course, that begs a fresh question.
What's that?
If it's not a shark, then what in God's name is it?
Another species of fish? Some type of underwater mammal?
Can't be a mammal. It would need a surface to breathe, and we haven't seen any incidents of that. No, can't be a mammal.
How about a reptile? Maybe something like the Loch Ness Monster?
I don't see it. This thing swims like a fish and acts like a fish to some extent. I've got to assume it is a fish, but the lack of genitals is truly bizarre. How would it procreate?
Are you sure it would?
You're kidding, right?
I'm just saying that it's a big fish. Maybe it's the last of its kind. Maybe it doesn't reproduce because there are no others like it.
I can't buy into that. It had to come from somewhere, right?
I guess.
Anya regarded Cole for a moment. She could see he was going to stew about this for the rest of the night.
I already know what you're thinking.
And what is that?
You want to get back in the water with it.
You're right. That's exactly what I want to do. I have to be sure about what I saw, and there's only one way to do that. I've got to get close to the shark.
Hunter is going to freak out.
Then maybe we shouldn't tell him.
Oh, great. You want an accomplice. Hunter will get pissed off at me as well. We'll both be in the doghouse.
At least we won't be lonely.
And when are you thinking about revisiting your friend, the shark?
How about after dinner?
You're not serious, Cole. Tell me you're just joking about this.
I'm not.
Okay. So allow me to point a few things out here. First, we think it killed Jock. Second, we saw it eat Sheila. Third, it tried to eat you.
Granted. Go on, please.
Well, the next thing is kind of obvious. Or at least it seems to me it damn well ought to be. It's night. In other words, it's dark out there. And I'd imagine it's going to be pretty dark underwater. Just how are you supposed to be able to see anything?
I've got a flashlight. More of a spotlight, actually. It should be more than adequate enough for me to see what I need to.
The genitals.
Or lack thereof, yes. Listen, I know it sounds crazy. I'm not trying to convince you otherwise. Any normal person wouldn't even dream about doing this. I understand that. But I also understand that unless I settle this question, then the fear of this thing is going to stall this project indefinitely.
You know, I thought we'd all agreed that we wouldn't worry about the wreck or the possibility of treasure until we got to the bottom of who was sabotaging the ship.
I pretty much thought we'd laid that question to rest with the discovery of Sheila and her subsequent demise.
I was under the impression there was someone else.
Why?
Well, Sheila denied it, but I could have sworn there was a second attacker in my room.
It was dark. You were knocked out. How can you be sure?
Oh, I suppose I can't.
Which means we can talk about diving again, the main purpose for us coming here.
I thought that was the shark.
Well, yeah, but it's all connected. So are you with me on this? I could use your help.
If I say no, you're probably going to do it anyway, aren't you?
It will take me a lot longer if I have to do it alone. There's operating the winch and getting into the cage. It's not a very easy process working alone like that, especially if I'm trying to do it on the sly.
Like when everyone else is asleep? I think that would probably be the smartest move, if you could even say any of this is smart.
All right, we can wait until later. I don't think it will really affect the lighting situation. It's going to be dark anyway we look at it.
And this light of yours will work underwater?
Professional rig. I've used it before off the coast of South Africa. Huh.
What?
Huh?
Did you just think of something?
I guess I did.
Please, share with the rest of the class. Hopefully it has something to do with not going through with your desire to dive into the pitch-black ocean.
No such luck, Toots. Another thing just struck me about our friend, the fish.
Yeah?
The manner in which it attacks.
What about it?
Doesn't make sense. It's not natural.
What are you talking about?
Remember when it attacked my cage?
Sure, I was there.
But how did it attack my cage?
It rammed it. You felt it, I'm sure. What exactly are you getting at?
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear. It rammed the cage from a horizontal level, right?
Well, yeah. Its dorsal cut through the waves like it did when it attacked Sheila just a little while ago.
It attacked horizontally. There is definitely something wrong with this picture.
Then could you explain it to me, please?
It has to do with how most sharks track their targets. Most of them, not all, but most, will stay close to the bottom and use the light from above to silhouette their targets against the surface of the ocean.
Okay.
Once they've gotten a bead on the target, they will accelerate and attack vertically. They do it by coming up from below and biting. They don't attack from the side, usually.
But this shark does.
Right. Great whites, which is what I think this fish is related to, are known for their vicious attacks from below. They will literally breach the water in South Africa. I've seen them kill seals that way. But it's always the same thing. They attack from below. That way, the victim has little chance of seeing them. It's a sneak attack that has devastating results.
Maybe this shark is different.
Oh, it's different, all right. Because, as I've told you all along, sharks are remarkably intelligent. They don't want to go in a battle and risk injury to themselves. They choose the path of least resistance, attacking so suddenly that their prey has little time or ability to fight back.
So then why does this shark attack differently?
I don't know. But I intend to find out.
Anya crept out of her quarters and made her way down toward the stern deck. The luminous hands on her watch read 12:15, and the dark turtleneck she wore with black pants helped her blend into the shadows. She knew Jax would be in the wheelhouse keeping watch. She and Hunter had come to an arrangement about that. And Hunter had made no secret that he intended to turn in after what he called a long and exhausting day. The coast seemed clear. Cole had planned to arrive about 20 minutes before Anya to get things ready for his descent into the inky water. Anya saw Cole skirting the edge of the deck by the rail. He had the cage righted and clasped to the winch line. Anya could also make out oxygen tanks and the rest of Cole's diving gear. He certainly seemed ready to go through with his plans. Anya walked over to him. They couldn't be seen from the wheelhouse unless Jax stepped outside and heard noise. She'd still have to come down the stairs in order to see what was going on.
You all right?
I'm almost set to go here. Just need to get the winch fired up. We won't have much time when we start that up. The noise is bound to draw attention, but I've got to do this, so whatever happens, try to stall them from hauling me back, okay?
I'll do my best.
I know you will. I'm going to do it a little differently this time.
How?
I'll be in the cage when you winch it overboard. I don't want to take a chance of missing the opening in the dark. It's safer that way.
I think this is the first time I've heard you suggest something that qualifies as safe.
Maybe I'm changing.
I doubt that.
Me too.
Anya watched Cole scramble up the cage and sit on the top as he cinched down his weight belt and tanks. He gave her the thumbs up and then lowered himself through the opening.
Let's do this.
Anya moved over to the winch. She watched as it extended and started to lift the cage off the deck. Cole grabbed onto the bars and nodded at Anya. With the regulator in his mouth, he looked like some type of alien. Anya smiled and waved once as she directed the winch over the edge of the boat. The cage touched the murky blackness of the ocean and started to slide beneath the depths. When it was buoyant, the top of the cage rested just below the surface. Anya slid away from the winch and walked toward the side of the boat. She watched as Cole switched on the brilliantly bright spotlight and started shining it through the water. Now, it was just a matter of waiting. Anya leaned on the rail and tried to peer through the darkness. There was no way she could see what was coming until the last minute. She imagined that huge fin cutting through the darkness, headed straight for Cole's cage.
So what do I do if it goes bad? What if the shark's able to ram its way into the cage? How do I save Cole?
She could try to winch him out, but if the shark bit down, she'd be dealing with its weight as well. And that would cripple the crane. Cole would be on his own. She wondered if he'd gone through all those scenarios in his head prior to embarking on this craziness. Anya had met a lot of men in her time that she considered a few sandwiches shy of a picnic. But Cole, as much as he seemed crazy, was also rational. He was trying to sort through this problem, the questions he had about this shark, and he was determined to do whatever it took to get the answers.
I'd probably like it even more if it didn't entail him risking death to do it.
The spotlight cut through the water in all directions. She wished that Cole had radio contact with her. It would make the wait a lot less tense. But they didn't have the radios, and they had to wait. Anya on deck and Cole in the water. They could have prepared some chum for the shark. A few fish heads and assorted bloody goop in the water would draw it in nice and fast. Anya glanced down and frowned. Cole had one of his gloves off.
What is he doing? That water looks terribly cold.
Then she saw a flash of metal. Cole took his knife and cut into the palm of his hand. The ambient light from the spotlight showed an immediate cloud of dark blood mixing with the ocean water. Anya shook her head. He must have had the same idea about the chum line. He cut his own palm and waved it around in the water, trying to attract the shark.
What the hell is going on down here?
Anya turned and saw Jax descending the stairs. She looked over at the winch and then at the water.
Oh, shit. Don't tell me the nutty professor is down there trying to attract the shark.
He is.
You helped him?
He raised some interesting questions.
Like what? How he tastes with the shark after it chews him up? Jesus, Anya, you realize this is completely nuts.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. But he would have done it anyway if I hadn't helped him. Cole's like that. At least this way I can be here if something goes wrong.
You mean when something goes wrong. Garin warned me that you sometimes made decisions that left him speechless.
That was nice of him. Are you going to stay here and tell me how bad I am for helping him?
Nah, but Hunter's going to go into conniption fit when he hears about it.
Now why would he hear about it?
You want me to pretend I don't know what's going on? When I'm on the bridge and manning the wheelhouse? That would cost me a hell of a lot with Hunter.
But it would gain you a powerful ally in me.
I don't need a powerful ally. I've already got one of my own, and his name is Garin.
Garin doesn't have the sword.
No, but he does have a lot of other stuff. A lot of other stuff that I can certainly find a use for.
So you'd sell me out for that?
Probably not, but if it happens, it happens. I've been on my own a long time, and watching out for numero uno is the way I live my life.
I know a lot of people like that. Most of them lack any sort of compassion or ability to see things from another perspective.
If you're going to psychoanalyze me without a license, I'll go back to the bridge.
Maybe you should.
Jack spun and climbed the steps to the wheelhouse. Anya watched her go, trying to figure out what made Jax tick. She turned back to the cage, floating in the darkness. She could see Cole down below. The bleeding seemed to have stopped on the cut he'd made on his palm. Anya wondered how long it would take for blood to dissipate and work its way down the current to where waiting sharks could smell it. Cole's spotlight continued to move back and forth in all directions. She wondered if he was trying some sort of visual experimentation. Not being able to talk with him was a real disadvantage. Maybe Anya could have helped if she knew what to do.
Somehow, Cole will have to figure this one out for himself. I hope he doesn't end up regretting his decision.
The wind that suddenly whipped up around her made her shiver despite the warm clothes she wore. The Seeker lolled slightly in the current. They'd stayed at anchor, Hunter not willing to move off this particular stretch because of the proximity to the Phantom. She wondered if their position had something to do with the shark's interest in them.
Where do sharks go when the sun sets? Do they even sleep? I don't know enough about these things to even pretend I'm stupid. I'll ask Cole about that when he gets back topside.
Anya jerked her head around and peered into the darkness. She couldn't see a thing. A quick glance down told her that Cole was still okay, judging from his body movement and the way he floated in the ocean, that nothing had drawn his attention. But something was out there. Anya felt certain of it. She tried getting Cole's attention, but his mask wouldn't give him much peripheral vision. He wouldn't notice her unless he happened to look up and see her waving at him.
Damn it.
Anya frowned and turned back to the direction where she'd heard the noise.
It's out there. Out there and waiting. Maybe it's just toying with Cole. Maybe it will make a surprise attack. I can't let him down.
She turned around. Jax was coming back down the stairs.
You back to make amends?
No, that damned fish is. It's on the scope. If Cole wants to have an encounter with that shark, he's going to get his wish. Real soon.
Anya looked down at Cole bobbing in the cage. She could tell that he'd seen the shark by how his body had stiffened. His spotlight was shooting straight behind the stern of the boat, tracking something in the water some distance away. Anya could just make out the slow-moving shape as it cruised in toward the cage and then broke away to the left. She frowned and understood why Cole was puzzled with the shark itself. He was right that it seemed to behave unlike the other sharks she'd seen when she went diving with Cole off Montauk. Cole tracked the shark with his light as it prowled the waters. It was still a good distance away, and Anya had trouble making out any details. As for Cole, Anya thought he seemed more relaxed now. She could see him floating and keeping himself locked on the shark. Every now and again, the dorsal fin would break the surface of the water, and then it would submerge again. The effect reminded Anya of a seesaw. Another difference that she found vaguely disturbing.
If he gets killed, Hunter's going to feed us both to the shark.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Why not? That thing's huge. And it seems to be sizing him up.
I can't place it, but something is not right. Cole knew there was something strange about it, and that's why he wanted to get back in there. I hope he's getting his answers now.
I hope so too, Anya.
Is he out there with that thing?
It's not what you think it is.
Suicide? No? Then tell me what it is, Anya. And tell me why you both felt you needed to go behind my back on this.
Cole thinks there's something, well, fishy about the shark.
What are you talking about? That thing killed Jock, and then it killed Sheila. What the hell's left to figure out? It's deadly, and he shouldn't be in there with it.
I tried to talk him out of it, but you know how he is when he gets his mind on something.
How's he doing?
It's still cruising around out there, maybe 50 yards to the port side. It hasn't approached the boat beyond 30 meters. I can barely see a thing except this occasional shape in the water.
Cole's doing better under the water. His spotlight's got a bead on it.
At least he can't be surprised. That's a positive, I suppose.
Anya watched Cole's beam of light. It was just catching the dark gray shape moving through the water. The shark seemed content to merely observe right now.
Maybe it's still full from earlier. That didn't come out the way I intended.
How did he ever attract the damn thing?
Cut his hand open. He waved the blood in the water, and a few minutes later, the shark showed up.
Please tell me you're joking.
Nope. You know he'll do whatever it takes to accomplish his objectives. That apparently extends to include mutilating various parts of his body.
Wonderful.
Where'd it go? I just had it. Now it's gone.
Anya peered into the darkness. The shape in the water seemed to have vanished.
Is it gone?
I could barely see it to begin with.
Anya glanced down at Cole in the cage, but even he seemed unsure of the shark's position. His spotlight cut back and forth through the water.
Cole must have lost it too.
Great. How can something that big simply up and vanish?
It must know these waters. That gives it an immediate advantage over us.
We didn't have an advantage anyway. We're on the boat and it's in the water.
Anya kept scanning the waves, but didn't see anything. This wasn't going down the way Cole had predicted it would. Anya felt uneasy at the thought of Cole in the water. She wondered whether it was because something was wrong, or just stress over the situation as a whole.
It's gone. I can't see it moving around anywhere out there. Maybe it got bored, or sensed that there really wasn't any food at all, but that Cole was baiting it.
I wouldn't think a shark cage would deter a 40-foot shark. Especially considering that it attacked once before.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it didn't have such a good time ramming it.
Cole has always insisted that they're very smart creatures. But I wish we'd seen it retreat or swim away rather than just vanish. I don't like that.
Hey!
They looked back down at the cage. Cole was poking his head out of the top.
You okay?
I guess.
Cole glanced around, shining his spotlight all over the top of the water.
I guess it's gone.
Did you get a good look?
Not really. It stayed too far away for me to see its underside.
And why would you want to do a thing like that? It's not enough to see it barreling straight at you?
Genitals.
What?
Cole couldn't remember seeing any genitals on the fish earlier, and that had him concerned.
Hunter looked at Anya and then stared at Cole.
You're risking your life just so you can get a closer look at a shark's nads? That is a new one, even for you, bro.
I'm not sure what I saw. I didn't see anything this time around, though. It seemed to stay deliberately far away. It was frustrating as hell. I wanted it to come in closer.
You planning on staying in there and getting hypothermia, or do you want me to winch you out?
Guess I'll come out. It must have gone someplace else that I couldn't see.
Probably better this way. That water's awfully cold.
Fishnets. That's almost unbelievable.
That's why we couldn't tell you ahead of time. He knew you'd laugh at the idea and then not let him go out.
Yeah, like I could ever stop him. One thing about Cole, he doesn't take no for an answer.
I've seen that.
You want some help with the winch?
Anya pressed the button to start the winch.
That's weird.
The lights on the boat went out. Hunter bumped into Anya.
Shit!
How did that happen?
I don't know, but I better get the backup generator online. I don't want Cole left out there.
What's going on?
Anya felt her way to the back railing.
Power's out. Hunter's gone to fix it. Can you hold on?
Do I have a choice?
Not really.
Cole's spotlight cut through the darkness and illuminated the back of the boat. Anya could see him almost sitting on top of the cage.
Are you sure you want to be positioned like that?
I just checked again. The shark's gone. No idea where. I didn't get what I needed, Anya.
I guess that means you'll be going back out tomorrow, huh?
Yep.
I better get back to the wheelhouse, Anya.
Can you find your way there in the dark?
Good point. Cole, can you shine that thing on the stairs so I don't kill myself?
The spotlight beam suddenly illuminated the back steps, and Jax walked off, making her way carefully up and then disappearing beyond.
Nothing moving out there, huh?
Just bobbing along here. How long do you think it'll take Hunter to fix the lights?
No idea. Why?
I need to go to the bathroom.
Can you hold it?
Water's cold. I might just go in my wetsuit. At least it'll warm me up a little.
That's gross. Try to hold it.
I'm trying.
The lights on the back of the boat flickered and then went out again. Anya frowned and wondered if this was more sabotage that Sheila had set up, or if it was a genuine problem with the Seeker's electrical system.
Hey, Anya.
Yeah?
I was thinking about something relating to what we were discussing earlier at dinner.
And what's that?
Remember when I was talking about the way the shark seemed to attack? How it didn't come up from below but made a more horizontal-style ramming attack?
Yes?
Well, I think I have it figured out.
Figured out what? Why it attacks like that?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and explain it to me. I'd be very interested to hear why.
I think the shark is...
A massive shape suddenly blotted out her view of Cole and the cage.
Cole! Cole!
The lights returned to the Seeker a moment later. Anya scanned the ocean, her eyes coming to rest on the dented and battered shark cage still floating lopsided in the water. But there was no trace of Cole. Anya stood on the deck, paralyzed. After a few minutes, Hunter came back from the engine room.
Where's Cole? Jesus, what happened?
When the power went out, we couldn't see anything. Jax went back to the wheelhouse and Cole... Well, he was waiting for you to get the power on so I could winch him out and then...
Cole! Cole! Shit!
I should have persuaded him not to go out there.
He could have been not clear. He could still be alive. We've got to get someone down there to look.
And bring the tally up to 4? Do you want to be responsible for that?
I'll go.
He turned, headed below decks. Anya grabbed his arm.
No, Hunter, think. You can't do this.
You want me to just give up? Leave him down there?
I don't want you to die, too.
Even in the darkness, Anya could see Hunter glaring at her, furious. Then he jerked his arm from her grasp and paced helplessly around the deck, fists clenched. Suddenly, he stopped.
Ah!
Anya hugged herself, watching Hunter as he seemed to deflate where he stood, collapsing under the weight of his grief. Angrily, she wiped her eyes and glanced at the twisted wreckage of the shark cage that had failed to keep Cole safe. She walked over to the winch.
No sense keeping the cage out there.
Let me help you.
Anya and Hunter could see the full effect of the incredible ramming attack that had shredded the cage's wire bars like they'd been made out of straw.
No shark could cause this kind of destruction.
Well, something did.
As the cage came to rest, Anya moved around it, examining it. The bars had simply given way under the assault. But otherwise, there was nothing to suggest that Cole had even been there.
We need to destroy this fish. I don't even care about the treasure. I just want this thing dead and gone.
But how? How are we supposed to kill it when we can't even get out there?
I don't know, but we've got to do something.
Maybe we should call in the Navy or something.
What? And ask to borrow a few torpedoes or depth charges to blow the thing up? No. We're on our own dealing with this creature. And we will definitely deal with it. Mark my words.
Anya watched him walk past the cage and lay a hand on it for the briefest of moments before climbing the steps toward the wheelhouse. She turned back to the ocean.
I knew this would happen. Why did Cole have to go out there and risk his life trying to prove something? And what? The shark is... what?
She turned abruptly toward the sound on her left side.
Cole?
Then she saw the triangular dorsal fin just within the range of the deck lights. The fin cut its way through the waves.
Damn you. You took one of my friends.
The fin swerved away from the boat and then cut a course a few degrees off the starboard side. To Anya's eyes, it looked as if it was zigzagging back and forth.
Is it going to attack the boat?
If it did, it could do a lot of damage. And that would mean a really big problem for the crew. If any of them went into the water, the shark would devour them. Anya looked at the waves lapping against the side of the boat and wondered how cold it was, whether hypothermia or the shark would get to them first.
The shark is... what? Big? That's obvious. Along with being dangerous and deadly and to be avoided in pretty much everything else I can think of.
Cole had seemed utterly relaxed as he bobbed atop that cage. Anyone else would have been terrified, but not Cole. What had Cole been about to say before the shark had attacked him? Anya thought back to the first time when she had seen the shark. The head had lifted out of the water, that enormous maw filled with those serrated teeth. Jax came down the steps behind her.
Hunter just told me.
It happened way too fast for me to do anything.
What were you supposed to do? Dive in and fend it off with a sword? How well would that have worked?
I have no idea. I've never done anything like that before.
Exactly. That's the thing. You always have to remember to look out for numero uno. If you couldn't help without risking your life, then it's not worth it.
He was my friend. I owed him more than I tried.
You don't owe him crap. You know how many people I've had tell me that I owed them something? Tons. I don't owe anyone anything. Where I'm at in my life is where I got myself.
Yeah, but doesn't that seem a little selfish to you?
What? It's selfish to look after yourself?
I didn't say that.
Look, Anya, I don't know what sort of thing you and Cole had going on, if anything. But the fact of the matter is, he's gone. There's nothing you could have done to protect him, even with that gift you have.
Doesn't feel like a gift right now.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Do you?
Well, not exactly in your context, of course. I think there's only one sword and you've got it. But I can grasp the idea that something that's supposed to make you better, able to do more, suddenly feeling as though it's the worst thing you have to bear.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm making some coffee, with a bit of whiskey in it. You want a cup?
There's nothing left of him. No trace of his body anywhere.
Well, yeah, that's good though, right?
Why would you say that?
Well, it's just that you'd have to collect it all and try to get it back ashore for the funeral. In a way, it's almost better this way.
Go make that coffee.
Just saying. I'll let you know when it's done.
Anya watched her go and then turned toward the ocean. She saw the huge dorsal fin cutting back and forth in front of her. It was almost as if it was taunting her, swimming out there like that, staying just at the edge of the lights so she couldn't get a precise fix on its location.
Why was it coming back again? Does it want more?
The fin drifted away and then came zipping right back toward the boat. Twice more it did this, and each time Anya wondered if she would need to brace for the impact of its body slamming into the hull of the boat. But just as she thought it was going to impact, it veered away and traveled off at another angle.
Come a little closer, and I'll happily cut you to ribbons with my sword.
But the fin only drifted away and continued its never-ending zigzag.
What the hell is going on here?
Anya felt strength flow into her limbs as she took a few practice swings with the sword, feeling the surge of energy in her system from holding it. The fin cut by close again. Anya took a half-hearted swipe at it.
You're damned lucky you're out there and not on dry land. Otherwise, we'd be having a different conversation.
The shark fin again came close to the ship and then veered away. Anya watched it.
Damn thing.
Anya saw the fin turn to head straight back at the ship. Power flowed through every cell of her body. She felt electric. Anya gripped the sword in both her hands, squeezing the hilt until she felt there was nothing that could wrest the blade from her grip. She leaped into the air, clearing the railing and the dive platform. She looked down and saw, for the first time, the entire length and girth of the massive shark. And then she was plunging down faster and faster through the air, directly at the back of the mighty beast. She readied herself to drive the sword straight into its black heart. At the last second, the shark veered, almost as if it could sense the attack coming at it from above. Anya bobbed in the waves, spinning around and searching for her target. She still held the sword in front of her, but she was immediately aware of how utterly exposed she was. Whenever she'd fought before, she'd only had to worry about people in front of her, behind her, or to her sides. Now she had to worry about being attacked from below. She could barely see anything in the darkness. The moon and the ship's lights gave limited visibility.
Where is it?
Anya spun around in the water and kept checking herself. So far, the shark hadn't attacked. There was something different about this creature, and Anya was determined to find out what it was. Right after, she killed it. She held the sword aloft and scanned the surface of the water. Anya saw the triangular dorsal cutting back and forth in the waves 100 yards or so away from her. She bobbed in the swells and considered her options. She could wait for the shark to notice her, if it hadn't already, or she could attack it. Anya paused for a moment, wondering how she had ended up in such an incredible situation. But this shark had already taken the lives of 3 people, and Anya was determined that no one else would die in its jaws.
To hell with it.
She swam through the waves toward the shark. Her strokes were broad and powerful, and Anya cut her way through the current, almost oblivious to its pull on her. But then the dorsal fin turned. The shark headed straight toward her. Anya stopped and treaded water.
Yeah, that's right. You get me, you bastard.
Anya held her sword in front of her, its point up, the blade between her body and the approaching shark. She was done being scared. The head reared up out of the surf, the massive gaping maw widening and showing the serrated teeth that had shredded 3 other humans. Anya gripped the sword as the blackness of the maw seemed to suck all the light out of the surrounding area.
It's even bigger than I thought.
In an instant, the mouth swept over her, blocking the night sky. Anya almost closed her eyes, but then forced herself to dive forward and down the gullet of the fish before its teeth could start to shred her. She'd expected it to stink of rotting flesh, but it didn't. She realized she could see some sort of light somewhere ahead of her.
Is that a motor?
Anya was inside the shark, but this was no shark. Ahead of her, Anya could see very little, but a dim red bulb gave off light. She could breathe. Oxygen was being pumped into the area. She could almost sit up, but stayed on her stomach, aware that there was a small amount of water on the floor of the belly of the shark. Not that she cared. She'd already been soaked when she jumped into the ocean. So this is what Cole was trying to tell her.
The shark is fake.
Or something like that. It didn't really matter at this point. Anya knew that she had nothing to fear from this machine. She even twisted around and felt her way back toward the opening of the mouth and ran her finger over one of the teeth. They were made of heavy-duty rubber.
But what's the point of this thing? Who would go through the trouble of building this machine? And why would they resort to using it?
Anya leaned back in the holding compartment. She felt the shark start to turn and then descend.
We're going deep.
Wherever this led, Anya wanted to be ready for anything, so she kept the sword with her. There wasn't much sense in going into the unknown unarmed. She'd already had enough surprises thrown at her.
At least I'm not dead.
Anya felt the shark level out.
Was this what happened to Cole earlier?
If so, then surely he had to be alive. She hoped that was the case. It would be tragic if she let herself get excited only to be let down again. If this was what had happened with Sheila, though, if she had been swallowed up whole by this machine as well and carted off somewhere, that meant there would be at least one person at the other end of this trip who would not be friendly toward Anya. and if she still had the gun in her possession, that meant Anya might have to be ready for an immediate fight. She patted the sword, relieved that it went anywhere with her. She certainly couldn't use it now, it was too tight a space in the shark's hold. But whenever she reached her destination, she had to assume there'd be more space. She looked around, marveling at the airtight structure of the machine. A steady volume of oxygen filtered in from two holes on either side of her, cooling and providing her with air to breathe. Meanwhile, all of the gaps had been sealed to be watertight, save for whatever happened inside when the shark's mouth opened. Clearly, the machine was not designed to kill anyone, but rather to carry them away to some unspecified location. There had to be a point sooner or later where they would stop. To go far would require fuel and food and water for the passengers. Anya decided that they would be getting to the destination soon enough. She tried to relax and enjoy the ride. It was a smooth sensation, and she had no sense of direction aside from going up or down. She reasoned that it would be good to rest and be ready for whatever greeted her next. She sat up and leaned back, letting her head rest against the wall of the holding compartment, with the sword across her lap. In the dim interior, the gray luminescent light contrasted with the red bulb and provided enough light for Anya to see, but aside from the oxygen holes, there was nothing to observe. The walls were featureless.
Fascinating.
She couldn't wait to find out who owned this machine and why they'd had it built. She could only guess what the reason might have been.
Maybe I should stop thinking and rest.
She leaned back and closed her eyes. The shark started to ascend. Anya opened her eyes.
We're going up. But where?
Wherever they were going, it was definitely on a final approach.
I wonder if the shark has landing gear.
More oxygen started coming out of the holes, and the breeze made Anya shiver just a little bit. Anya gripped the sword. Wherever they were, Anya fully intended to jump out just as soon as the mouth opened to let her escape. She was suddenly aware that she was seeing small spots in front of her eyes.
Spots?
She started to feel very heavy and relaxed. She bit her tongue and felt blood flow.
Damn it!
They were going to knock her out prior to getting her out of the shark. Anya tried to cover her nose and mouth with her clothes, but it didn't help. She tried to concentrate on the sword, willing it to help her stave off the effects of the gas, but it was no good.
I can't be found with the sword.
As much as she hated to do it, at least they wouldn't find her with it, and she could use its surprise factor to her advantage when she woke up.
If I wake up...
Anya considered the possibility that they were drugging her now so she wouldn't give them trouble, and they could calmly and methodically kill her at their leisure. No, if they'd wanted her dead, she already would be. Wherever she was going, they wanted her alive. And as Anya drifted off to sleep, she found herself wondering what she would see when she woke up.